Cheryl and I was able to tune in to the Douglas Hills Church of Christ morning meeting. I think they assembled fairly early, like 8 o'clock. Brother Paul Earnhardt was preaching. I think he's 90 or 91 years old. And his wife, Wilma, he was talking about that when he was young, they were young, they could help others. And he said, but now we are old and we need help. And that's what Christians are for. We're here to help one of the old and the young. But he got to talking about the individuals that Christ associated with. We know that he talked with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the lawyers, but not in the sense that he talked and dealt with other people. He would simply, when they asked him a question, he would answer it, and that was it. So he didn't associate with certain groups of people, but he would at times talk. But he mentioned the people that Christ chose to be his apostles. And they were all different except for Peter and James and John. They were all fishermen. They had that in common. They were common people. But Matthew was a tax collector. He was despised for being that because he collected taxes from the Jews for the Roman government. Simon the Canaanite was a zealot. He was a member of a zealot political movement. In other words, he waged war against the Roman army there. Matthew collected that. Simon was part of the movement. Judas was one that was chosen or was placed in charge of the money bag. And we know what happened to him. Also, Paul, if you will, was one that persecuted Christians. He was Jew and he was also a Gentile. And other than the fishermen, they had nothing in common. The rest of them did not. And this is who Christ chose to be his apostles. And in that, as Peter, James, and John all left their work of fishing to follow Christ, so all of the rest of the apostles that Christ chose likewise quit what they were doing and became apostles in preaching God's word. He mentioned also that if Christ is to dwell in us, we must know who he is and what he has done. If Christ is going to dwell in us. In Matthew chapter 23, Christ criticizes the people there for the acts that they were doing. So if we're to know Christ, be in Christ, we're to dwell in Christ and Christ in us, we must know him. He's picked out a certain selection of people. They're not the richest. I have all this stuff in the world. Not saying that rich people are not members of the church. I'm not doing that. But if they are, it'd be far and few in between if they were. But again, that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, that was read, for consider him who endured, that being Christ, him, such contradictions of sinners against himself. And that's what I'm dealing with, that Christ had no dealings with them other than to ask the question they may have asked him. He endured the contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. In this verse, the author of Hebrews makes a simple statement to the Hebrew Christians to provoke them to think. Consider him, they say. Consider Christ, who endured such hostility for sinners against himself. Why did the author make this statement to them? The reason is stated in the remainder of this verse, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So we're to ever look for Christ. If we do that daily, every day of our life, we'll not become discouraged. We will become discouraged when we quit doing that. And the danger there is going back, as the early Christians did under the Jewish law, of going back into the world. So we have to be careful of that. It's a good reminder for us today. What does Christ mean to you? And what does Christ mean to me? He reminds me not to become weary or discouraged in the race I'm running, despite those things that I might encounter. I'm sure daily each of us come upon certain things. Maybe not every day, but daily we come upon certain things or we have to deal with. And it's how we handle those situations. And that's the reason we have Word of God, which tells us how we can handle every situation that arises in our life if we know what His Word teaches. Not only was it a problem for the Hebrew Christians, it's a problem again for us today. You had those Judaizing teachers, and what was they trying to do? To get those Hebrew Christians to go back under the law of Moses. And if you read the early part of Hebrews, you find out that a lot of them did do that. And if you look up for the word study, in Hebrews 10, verse 25, when the writer there says, not forsaken, that forsaken means they had left the church. Not that they weren't attending services, but they had left the church and went back under the law. So the danger was, Paul was warning, don't be like those who's already done that. Again, the danger of this lay in the fact they did not advance properly, that we've looked at in their growth as a Christian, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have no need someone teach you again. Hebrews 6 and verse 1, they had not left the elementary principles of Christ and move on to perfection. If you have problems that arise, if you're not solid or know quite a bit about the Bible, you're going to have problems in solving problems and the people you come in contact with. That's the reason that we need to know what God's Word teaches. Again, another example is given to them in chapter 12 and verse 1. And the writer there says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What do you think that term means, or that phrase? Lay aside every weight and the sin. We're not to have nothing that weighs us down that would cause us to go back into the world. Okay? We're to run that race that is set before us. That sin that besets us, we need to get rid of it. And the only way to that is through growth. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, telling them to run till the race is over. And sometimes that may be a lifetime. And I was thinking of Paul and Wilma. For how long they are Christian, they have run this race, and they have not failed in serving God. And I know a lot of us here for a long time. We've got a lot of years in serving Christ and God. We've got young people coming up. I pray that they spend a lot of years serving God also. But the great cloud of witnesses are not there to cheer us on saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. That's not what the verse is meaning. They are telling us that something can be achieved if we work at it. They're our example. We have this cloud of witnesses that's already done what? They've passed on, they've left us an example. Such as a parent will leave a child example. Mark's a good Christian. Tammy's a good Christian. They see that in their life. Jordan and Justin do. Their grandchildren will see it. So you have this great example. Us, greatest example for us is Christ. We see how he handled every situation that came up. The author exhorts them to lay aside every weight. If something's weighing us down, keeping us from serving as we should, get rid of it. They will not be able to endure these things if they were not cast off. Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. Get my paper here. If thy right eye offend thee, cast it from thee. This would be more profitable to you. In verse 30 he says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It would be more profitable to you. So again, anything that keeps us from serving God, we need to get rid of it. In order to go on for perfection, they needed Christ and not hold to the things of the Old Testament. But it applies to more than this. Anything that keeps us from seeking the kingdom first is a hindrance. If not cast aside, we will not endure. Hebrews 5 and verse 8, the writer tells us that Christ learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It's things which we go through today also. Chapter 12 and verse 3, Christ endured hostility for sinners. Notice he endured, he lasted, he finished the course that was set before him. And I doubt any of us in our lifetime will ever suffer the few years, the 33 years, at least the three last years of his life, as much as he did. 12 verse 1 again, those there lasted the course. How? By faith. They were willing to lay aside every weight which might hinder them, no matter who or what is involved. By doing so, they ran the race. How were they able to endure such hostility they had faced? Verse 2 says, looking or keeping our eyes on to Jesus by faith, the author and finisher for our faith. When we quit looking towards Jesus, we're going to suffer. That should be a daily thing that we pray for each morning when we get up, each night when we go to bed. And if you're not praying that many prayers, you're not praying enough. Amen. We need to talk to our Heavenly Father who hears. He answers our prayers according to His will. Some may be right away. I understood that with Shirley and our great-granddaughter. But some may go down to 6 or 7 months. If He's going to answer them, there's a time in which He will do it that serves His purpose. And there may be some that He don't answer. So we just have to pray what we want, what's on our mind, and leave it up to God for that. He was able to despise the shame and hostility that came before Him. Why? It says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured. What was the joy? It was not the agony of the cross, but it's what the cross accomplished through Christ. The cross accomplished that we can be reconciled to our Father. Therefore, to me, we owe Him that honor that He so richly deserves. This day we remember, this Lord's Day, the suffering, agony of our Savior, and what the cross accomplished for us. If you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel, God has blessed you with another day. He has blessed you with health. He's given you the time and opportunity to be here, to hear just a small portion of His word, of what is required to become a Christian. As Peter taught in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 47, upon those doing that, and the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved. You may have sin. It may be known in public. If that's so, you need to let the congregation know, then make reconciliation with those in public that has said that. Go back and tell them you was wrong. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.